Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled Prosperity Proven. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free tape of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
I mean, understand there are millions of Christians. They'd fight you if you tried to tell them that there's going to be blind people and crippled people and people with cancer in heaven. They'd say, no, there's not. You'd say, yeah, sometimes in heaven you'll find some sick people. They'll say, blasphemy, error, right? But yet they'll do everything within your power to tell you that down here, sometimes it's the will of God. They just got through telling us that God has two different wills. He's got a completely different will for heaven than he does here. And that is completely contrary to what he taught us to pray. Didn't he say, pray that thy will would be done on earth, how? Even as it is in heaven. That tells you two things. At least two things. Tells you one, there's not two different wills. One for heaven and one for earth. It also tells you God's perfect will is not being done in its entirety on the earth, or he wouldn't teach you to pray that it would be. Right? If it's all right for me to live in a mansion in heaven, then it's all right for me to live in one down here. If it's all right for me to wear kingly robes in heaven, then it's all right for me to wear king. Somebody said, well, you know, I actually heard a fellow trying to write a book and everything said, would Jesus wear a Rolex? Well, if he had a watch, they didn't have them back then like that. But if he had one, what kind do you think it would have been? His clothes were so expensive that the soldiers gambled over him. Did you hear me? He had some nice stuff. He had people that made it their job to follow him around and support him financially, that had a lot of money. Now, he didn't own a lot of property. Neither did Abraham. Abraham didn't have title deed to 1 acre, but was one of the richest men of the East. Sometimes people try to take that and say, well, you know, Jesus said, you know, the foxes have their dens and the birds have their net, but the Son of Man doesn't have where to lay his head. But he did have a place to stay. He enjoyed some nice stuff. He just didn't have title to it. And, you know, we don't have to have title for everything that goes on down here. It just at the right place, at the right time. Here's the nice thing to help you do what you're called to do. Everybody say kings. He's made us kings and priests unto our God. Now, did you read the scripture now? Let me read it to you again. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and all of it goes together, and has made us kings and priests to our God. Does he love you?
Yes.
Did he love you and wash you from your sins?
Yes.
Did he just as surely make you a king?
Amen.
And a priest?
Yes.
Unto your God. So no matter how you feel about it, if you feel like a king or a pauper, or how you think, none of that matters. Believe the word and accept it. Say it out loud. I'm loved of God.
I'm washed in the blood.
And I'm made a king
and a priest
to my God. Now later on, this is really going to mean something to us. In the days to come, in the ages to come, God is going to demonstrate to the people of the world that he chose us. That's another subject in its entirety. But friend, we might as well get used to the idea. We're kings. We're made to rule and reign. Kings are rich. Do you see where I'm going with this now? Kings are rich. King David is a good example. King Solomon is a good example. And we're going to go from there. But go back with me to the Old Testament. Let's look at some things about King David. Go back, please, Let's see to 1 Samuel, I believe, first of all. Bless the Lord. 1 Samuel. Anybody stirred up about this at least a little bit? How many kings do I have in here? I'm a king. What do kings do? They rule and reign. Right? Rule and reign. Now, you can't control everything in other people's lives, but in your life, you can rule and reign, if you'll believe that. In 1 Samuel, let's start in the 18th chapter. Just give a little bit of an overview about King David, a man after God's own heart, a man who was not always rich. How many know he didn't start out as King David? How'd he start out? David, the shepherd and guitar player. Guitar player. Yeah, he had a little portable harp, you know. And he would write his tunes and sing his songs out there with the sheep by himself. The youngest of a large family. And in those days, being the firstborn was everything, not the baby. Did you hear me? You know the story, how that when God told Samuel, go anoint one of Jesse's boys to be king, they all thought it was going to be the number one son, the eldest boy. He had the looks, he had the stature, he was a big, strong man, noble features. Everybody said, that's got to be him, but it wasn't him. And it wasn't number two, and it wasn't number three, right on down the line. And David was so insignificant in the family, they didn't call him to the supper. You get that?
Yeah.
He was the freckle-faced kid that had to keep the sheep while the big boys took care of stuff. And he's out there in the field taking care of the sheep. And finally they went through all the boys, and Samuel said, the Lord said, none of these are he. He said, you got any more boys? He said, yeah, one, we're just a kid out there with the sheep. He said, we can't sit down till you bring him. And when they brought him in, of course, he'd been out with the sheep. He probably don't look all that sharp. Sure don't smell all that good. And here he comes, a kid. And the Lord said, this is him. Rise, stand up and anoint him. Glory to God. How many know the Lord's choice makes the difference? Well, even after he started out a kid, youngest in the family, no place of privilege. They weren't wealthy. I'm going to show you that further in just a moment. But through his faith, he did a great exploit. Was used of God to conquer the giant Goliath. And boy, everybody knew the little boy David, the teenager David. Everybody knew him. It was big stuff. He got to go to the palace and play his guitar or his little portable harp. And that was great for a little while. But then Saul became jealous of him. And, you know, during this time, he asked him about marrying his daughter, Saul did. Now, notice in 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18. And when they sent word in verse 22, 1 Samuel 18, 22, said, the king has delight in you. 1 Samuel 18, 22. All his servants love you. Now be the king's son-in-law. But really, he was trying to set him up. Saul's servant spoke those words in the ears of David, and David said, seems it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? Let's just stop right here. Do you see where he started? He was not the firstborn. He was lightly esteemed. He was a poor kid. And not long after this, he has to run for his life. Right? What little he had begun to make progress in is all out the window. He's a fugitive. He's wanted. His face is on posters, so to speak. Right? I mean, he is, it'd be like today being on the FBI's top 10 wanted list. I mean, he is number one man that the king wants dead. Number one. And he spared no expense. He sent military operations after him. He used all the intelligence of the nation. And David ran for his life night and day, night and day. But even in that situation, kind of remind you of Joseph. Even as a slave, he was a prosperous man. Remember that? Even running from the law, hiding, having to change places every day, David began to prosper. People began to come and hook up with him. He began to get stronger and stronger and have stuff. And after a while, he had family. He had herds. He had stuff. He had possessions. This is as a fugitive. How many believe God can bless you in any circumstances? In a prison cell. Right? As a slave. As a fugitive. You could still be blessed. So at this juncture, David has become a man of substance. And a man who a number of people are under him as a fugitive. Now think about how supernatural that is. Every day they got to get up and think about where they're going to run today. And where's Saul's army? Where's his police force? Got to avoid them. And what happened though, shortly after this in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel... David and the men were out. And when they got back to the city where their stuff and their families were, this is 1 Samuel 30 and 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, that's where their folks were, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small. How many know that's a miracle? In those days, they didn't kill one person. Just took them all captives.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching entitled, The God of David, you may write to More Life Ministries, Post Office Box 1010, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you may call our offices at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. The offer number is R604. That's R604, and the tape will be sent to you postage paid. For more information about this ministry and an itinerary of upcoming meetings, please visit our website at www.morelifenow.org. Also, if you are visiting in our area, we invite you to attend service with us at Faith Life Church in beautiful Branson, Missouri. Service times are Friday evenings at 7:30 and Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.